Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Let the Lord bless you this beautiful day. God is so good to us. Amen. We praise Him for His faithfulness, His love. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. We are to praise our God continually. Well, today we're going to be talking about something that I think is very relevant as we're in these end days. And it's a word the Lord gave to our church, and I believe it's something I believe to every church that especially as we're crying out for revival in America. And it is the message, touch not the unclean thing. And we'll be talking about what that unclean thing is. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our speech to you is candid, our heart is wide open. On our part there is no constraint, but there is constraint in your affection. In fair exchange I speak as unto you, my children, open wide your hearts to us. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And this is a very powerful scripture. Paul has given us very practical instruction in the Christian life. Now, again, today we're going to be talking about what is the unclean thing. Well, the unclean thing can be many different things. Let me give you illustrations of the unclean thing, what it could be. The unclean thing is anything you would hide if Jesus came over to your house and began going through your house and walking through. Is there anything you would want him not to find? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes. That is an unclean thing. Also, whatever the Bible says is wrong and evil, that's an unclean thing. Anything that belongs to God or someone else. You know, there are some people that are driving God's car. You say, what do you mean? Instead of giving their tithes and offerings to the Lord, they have stolen God's money and used it to purchase things for themselves. That makes that vehicle or whatever it is you spent on God's tithes evil. It makes it unclean. Or something you have someone else. You know, we have a lot of problems these days with people stealing one from another. If you have something that belongs to someone else and you've not borrowed it and you've just taken it, that is an unclean thing. And finally, I say an unclean thing is anything that you don't feel good about. You know, it can be a habit even that you're doing. Something that deep down you're saying, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this, or I really shouldn't be going to that place. That is an unclean thing. Remember the principle in God's word in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth is condemned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Which means anything you doubt the rightfulness in doing, and therefore you can't do it by faith, it is sin. So much for thinking you are perfect, right? Doubtful habits are sinful habits. If you can't do it in full assurance and faith, stop doing it until you know for sure if it pleases the Lord or it doesn't. Amen? So this is kind of examples of what an unclean thing looks like. And see, it can be different for all of us, other than just the specific things God says that we're not to have anything to do with. Now, why would God say in His Word to touch not the unclean thing? Well, let me give you three very basic truths that might help you understand. Number one, God loves you. Remember, if it's good for you and a blessing to you, God wants you to do it. God only says no to things that would harm us, that are evil, or would bring destruction in our life. God loves us perfectly. God is not a killjoy. If it truly is good for you and a right thing, God says you do it. God says you can have it. Amen. So, but the things that He said in His Word that we're not supposed to do, He knows will bring evil consequences or judgment into our life. You know, just that principle, God loves us. Let's just share a couple scriptures on that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, of course that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How about Romans 5:8-9? But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's through Jesus. And remember, it's the precious blood of Jesus that washes away your sin. And the only way the blood of Jesus can be applied to your sins is if you come to Jesus, repenting of those sins, and inviting Him into your heart as Savior and Lord. We'll do that in just a minute if you've never done that. Two more scriptures. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Remember, I know for a fact, doesn't matter who's listening to me, no matter how evil or wicked you've been, God loves you. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from your sins, and Jesus wants to be your Savior and Lord. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Yes, God loves you. That's why His Son Jesus came down from heaven, became man, lived a sinlessly perfect life, did all the miracles that the Bible records. In fact, the Bible says He actually did more than was written. But then the very special thing Jesus did is when He went to the cross and died for the sins of the whole world. And He just didn't die. He rose again victorious over Satan, sin, and death the third day. Praise God for Jesus. Would you like to know Jesus today? Do you know for a fact that if you died today, you would go to heaven and be with the Lord? If you're not sure, or if you just know you're lost, pray this prayer with me. Remember, you can get born again by praying a prayer and inviting Jesus into your heart. Here we go. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. Cleanse me by Your precious blood. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now and please be my Savior and Lord of my life. Thank You for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from the heart and meant it, you are a born-again believer. Find a good church. Follow the Lord and follow up by water baptism. Receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Be discipled and built up in the Lord. And find, and God will reveal to you His purpose and plan for your life as you come to Him and are born again. Isn't that exciting? And I'll see you in heaven one day. Amen. Remember, Jesus is the person who made heaven possible for all people. And remember, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, I would be a liar, and Jesus would have to chasten me if I told you anyone could get to heaven except through Jesus. No, without Jesus Christ, you die and go to hell. Doesn't matter who you are. Remember, anything other than Christianity and Jesus is false religions, and all those people will go to hell. That's not politically correct, but that's the absolute truth. Jesus Christ is God. He's the Creator, and He's the only one who died for the sins of all mankind. So He's the only avenue of forgiveness and knowing God. That's it. That's reality. Amen. Okay, number one, we've established when He said, God says, touch not the unclean thing. The first principle is because He loves us and He tells us what is good and what is bad. And then again, we don't want to do the bad. The bad is the unclean thing. Number two, God knows the destruction that it brings in our life if we touch the unclean thing. I want to use a couple examples today, Old and New Testament. You know, I want to go to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament and just let you see how serious sin can be in affecting you and others here in Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but a few. So there went up in there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even as Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and they shall surround us and cut us off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, why layest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have all transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families of it, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, and all that he hath, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Does that sound very serious to you? Consequences of taking the accursed thing? Let's go. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and by the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdah was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmnah, the son of Zabdah, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, and the 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. Now you notice the Bible tells us one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not covet. Well, he coveted this thing. Let's see what happens. And took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hidden in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and said unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua called, and all the children of Israel with him, unto Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had, and they were brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over them a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now that was serious. You know, God said they were to defeat their enemies. But God told them, this one city, you weren't to take any of the loot this time. Achan decided he knew better. He decided, well, I don't want that to go to waste. I'll just take it. He coveted it and took it. The result was, God said, and what the people did, they stoned and burned him and his family and his animals. Oh, that doesn't sound politically correct. Well, that didn't change God's mind, did it? Him and his family and all that he had was stoned and burnt with fire. We need to understand, God hates sin. And there are some sins you can do that will bring the judgment of God upon you and even upon your household. Oh, well, Pastor, don't you understand? Now, God seemed to be a little bit mean maybe in the Old Testament, but now in the New Testament, he's all nice again. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has always been good. God has always been great. God has been long-suffering. But God takes sin seriously. And when he says to do something or not to do something, he means it. Well, you say, well, you just read from the Old Testament. I just really don't think God does that anymore, or sin is that serious under the covenant of grace. Well, okay. Let's go into the New Testament under the covenant of grace to the very last book of the Bible. How about the book of Revelation, chapter 2, okay? Now, recognize in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking from heaven. He's already resurrected. He's at the right hand of the Father. John has had a vision or been taken up into the heavenlies and given the last time scenario for the last 7 years on planet Earth before Jesus comes back and has the millennial rule of Christ. And I believe that will happen very soon. Yes, I believe the next thing we can look forward to is the rapture of the church, then the seven-year tribulation, then Jesus literally returns to earth and the millennial rule of Christ here on earth. That's very exciting. The book of Revelation talks about that. But also, Jesus gave a letter to seven churches back then. He saw the churches. He gave them a little bit of preview about himself. He commended them for the good things they were doing, but also he dealt with the sin that's in the church. You know, sin can be in the church. Let's go over here to Revelation chapter 2, beginning verse 20. The church at Thyatira. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Let me stop right here. She was a false prophetess. She was telling God's servants it was okay to have sex outside of marriage. Do you think that happens in the church today? Oh, it's not really a big deal if kids have sex before they get married, or you have a sexual relationship outside of the marriage covenant, or you involve yourself in homosexuality or lesbianism. That's all involved in the word fornication. It deals with sexual sins. There was actually a woman teaching who said that was okay now. You could do that. In fact, back then they actually had temple prostitutes. Reminds me of a false religion, but I won't mention it today. To eat things sacrificed to animals and to commit fornication. Okay, now notice. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, sexual sin. And she repented not. Jesus talking, okay? Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. This is Jesus. This is under the covenant of grace. This is Jesus saying, you don't come into my churches as leaders and tell people it's okay to have sex outside the marriage covenant, whether it be premarital, extramarital. You never say that homosexuality and lesbianism and sexual perversion is okay. It is sin. Now, Jesus said, I gave her space to repent. You see, that's the deal that trips most people up. Because you do the sin, and God doesn't immediately whack you. You thought, well, I've gotten by with it. Really, this isn't so bad. Maybe God's changed his mind. No. God, in his long-suffering and mercy, is giving you an opportunity, and his Holy Spirit will deal with you if you're saved. He'll convict you of that sin. If you don't repent, what will happen to you will happen to what this church back then. He'll put you into great tribulation. And Jesus said, I will kill her children with death. That's Jesus Christ talking. God is still holy. God is still just. Yes, he's loving, merciful, and gracious. But Jesus says sin is serious, especially in the church. Does your church believe it's okay to have sex outside of marriage? Does your church say homosexuality and lesbianism is okay, an alternate lifestyle? Then those are churches that will be brought into judgment, which will go through great tribulation, and yes, Jesus will probably kill your children. Because that's what Jesus said he would do to this church if they repented not. God hates sin. Sin has terrible consequences. Yes, God is very long-suffering. Sometimes it seems God with individuals gives them a long period of time to deal with their sin. And if they repent, see, that's the good news. If you repent, you confess your sin. Lord, I shouldn't be doing this. I hate my sin. I repent. Jesus will cleanse you with his precious blood. Yes, he will show you mercy and grace. Sometimes even in God's mercy, he even takes away the consequences of our sin. What an awesome, loving, great God. But if we spit in his face and we don't repent and we allow people in our pulpits or teachers to say it's okay, then God will judge those churches, which means those people in those churches. And he will judge that sin. That's under grace. Do you get the picture? God has not changed. God was very loving in the Old Testament too, but there were some things you just didn't do because God says, I hate sin. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for sexual sin. Do you think because he's being long-suffering, people are getting by with anything? And yes, aren't many dying with sexual diseases? What do you think that is? The judgment of God. He's never approved it. Repent. God is calling America to repentance. We must repent, or more judgment will come. 9/11, God let down the hedge, and America was attacked. That shouldn't have happened. If we were right with God as a nation, that wouldn't have happened. Just like with Israel. When Israel was following and serving God, no enemy could defeat them. But when they began to follow other gods and practice sin and iniquity, then God would use their enemies to judge them. That's what's happened to us. America, we must repent and get right with God. We are to pray in the government. Our government was founded on men who prayed together before they made decisions. Prayer has to go back to school. Our kids need to pray every day in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't allow false gods. Remember, one nation under God, and the God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a businessman, you should pray in your business meetings. If you are a person, husbands and dads are to pray with their kids. We are not ashamed of God. We are one country under God, and God has everything to do with everything we do all the time if we are right with God. Don't listen. It's not freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. God is to be first. That's why God is on the names and the Ten Commandments on some of the most important buildings, because we as a country said we are one nation under God and we will obey God and follow him and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we must repent. Touch not the unclean thing. That's the message today. God loves us. He knows of the destruction that the unclean thing will bring in our lives. And number three, he has something better for us. The Bible says, no good thing will God withhold from them who walk uprightly. But you know the condition? That you walk uprightly before God. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace enables you to sin not and to serve God faithfully. God bless you. What was the message today? Touch not the unclean thing. Take this message seriously before it's too late.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.